Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Devine.
Hey, Petty Little Jews. Welcome to Petty Little Things. It's a January edition.
Why do you sound so happy?
Just very, very excited.
I'm just glad it's almost over.
Do you know what I was curious to ask is when is the official time to stop saying Happy New Year to people?
Well, someone just said it to me there. And
did
I was
they?
Like,
that's why I think it's weird, isn't it?
I don't like Happy New Year.
Well, no, like obviously when people, I think, come back from work, like after being off for Christmas, they always go, hope you had a nice break, which also, by the way, pisses me the fuck off because yeah. I didn't stop over Christmas. So I'm like, well, I'm hoping you had a nice fucking break because I've been going at it like a fucking dog.
I think that's fine. I hope you had a nice break. I can handle that. Happy New Year to me just feels very fake.
Well, it's just like, it's polite. Speaking of polite, can I just say,
of course,
I just met my friend for lunch and we were in Fallon and Byrne. I don't know. I actually love a bit of Fallon and Byrne.
Yeah, they get free advertising out of us.
Yeah,
though.
They really do. I love a bit of Fallon and Byrne. It's obviously like a local delicacy, but the seating setup is they have one big bench in the middle, and they have, this is borderline rotter territory.
Okay,
but I think it's just on. It just needs to be addressed because I find this insane. So it's like a big kind of like, it's like in the Apple store, you know, like a big table and it's the seats on each side. So normally people would sit kind of, you know, opposite side and be kind of like, so. There's two seats, but it's like right down the back. But there's these two old men just like facing me and my friend Louise. We're just sitting there. And they're just like, we're having a full blown, we haven't seen her in months. So like, so how have you been? So we're having these real in-depth conversation. And I just turn and look and there's just these two old men just like staring at us dead in the face, eating a sandwich, but just like literally, not like we're entertaining them. We're like, it's like they're watching the television. So they're sitting there. So I was like, this is fucking intense. Uh-huh. And I could tell by her talk pattern was slowing down because she knew that they were listening. So I was like, this is fucking nuts. So then over by the wall, they have one single bench that's going along where people kind of, the solos would kind of sit maybe. And so I went over. There's one little gap in between. There's a robust woman, let's just say.
Okay.
With a lot of Dunn's shopping bags sitting there. And on either side of her, there's quite a lot of space. So I kind of went over and there was room for one and a half maybe in between. So I said, come on, we're sitting here. Then I realized when we sat down, this is actually quite tight and we're quite intimate to each other at the moment. And my back was right up against that woman. And she could have shimmied, I'd say, 10 centimeters to like, there was lots of space. It was a good like 2 foot, 3 foot on her side.
Yeah.
Didn't move. And I was just like, this is actually fucking nuts. Meanwhile, I look around, like everyone is just like sitting there on their own. No one is like, with a partner, you know, like, it's just like, it's so fucking rude. Like,
well, shared seating's kind of rough anyway. Like when we went to Yamamori last week or the week after or before, like the people who were sitting beside us, by the way, the restaurant was 60% empty, but we were still seated beside people who were already seated. Like, I remember thinking, oh God, I wish I should have said straight away, can we actually sit away from people?
Why do they do that in a restaurant when it's completely empty? They will sit you right beside somebody. It's like, there has to be some kind of anyone that works in restaurants, there has to be some kind of thinking in that. Is it for cleaning issues, cleaning reasons?
I mean, I think they're trying to make it look busy, especially when you can see in the window. Do you know what I mean?
But you know what they can do? What? Get fucked. That's what they can do.
I just hate it because that woman who was beside us, well, like, to be fair, she had a very dramatic phone call.
She did.
And we were all ears. Well, but after that, she was basically sitting with us.
No, it started with her. We sat down and we ran into Holly Carpenter in the restaurant.
Yes.
And we were catching up, a good old catch up, and we had a good, like, good chuckle with Holly in that restaurant. And we were talking kind of like, you know, funny little things, probably that the whole restaurant could probably hear. So when we sat down, her and her male companion were just all ears, kind of going, waiting to hear what we were saying about the conversation. So I was like, that's fucking weird. And then when we're sitting talking, I'm always very aware of what's around.
Yeah.
And they were just not talking.
No, they were listening.
Yeah, listening.
The whole time.
And I was forgetting.
I don't even remember what we were speaking about, but I do know it was juicy because I was perched.
Yeah.
I wasn't just relaxed. I was sitting.
Listen, you never go out for a meal with me and there's no juice. There's always, one thing I will guarantee in this life, you will always get some juice out of me. There's always a juicy antidote or something that's your weight, I tell you.
Yeah.
You will always.
Shanaki divine.
You will always get it. But then, her companion went, I think, to take a phone call or something outside, and she had the most traumatic phone call, and there was murder on the phone. But do you know what? I actually couldn't give a fuck what she was talking about. I normally do like a good like eavesdrop, but
she was angry though.
She was angry.
She was angry.
I'm glad she deserved that because she was in our face. So
fucking hate shared seating is the moral of the story. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
I've always said that is what, if I had to do like a list of top 10 rotters, that would be up there. It's like, so basically, if I'm having a meal with someone, I want to have a meal with one person. I don't want to have it with three fucking other people sitting beside me.
Well, speaking of meals, I bought a slow cooker. It came at the weekend. I only got an air fryer. I didn't even know what an air fryer really did. And I can't cook. So an air fryer is kind of ideal for me.
Yeah.
You can't really go wrong with it. But bought a slow cooker, and before coming in, I feel like I'm really like 40 is coming at me now. I made a Thai red curry in the slow cooker, and it's slow cooking while we're here. Is that weird?
Yeah, do you know what? You're probably the only person I know that could have a slow cooker and the house will burn down.
It can, though, can it?
Well, we wait and see.
Also, like, I'm not really a good cook, so I still think I've ruined it.
Join us next week when we'll actually be recording. This won't be a studio anymore, it'll be actually Victoria's full time apartment.
If I bring you later and I say, is Veda okay? Have we told that story before?
Yeah, we did.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, have we what? Is Veda okay? Because you got food poisoning from the Dragon Inn.
Yes, which is now not called the Dragon Inn anymore. They've rebranded.
It wasn't the Dragon Inn.
It was at the was time, it? Yeah. But
you'd miss the Dragon Inn, wouldn't you?
You'd miss the Dragon Inn. But I was walking past, I was thinking, they've rebranded because they've food poisoned too many people. So now they're like, you know, we're the Sunshine Inn now, I think it's called, or something like that.
Yeah, well, maybe. But sure, listen, anyway. Well, we're just back from a little retreat.
Oh yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were on our holidays.
Yeah, we went to Wicklow.
It was not restful at all. I'm just going to say that.
I think I came back more exhausted.
So we
probably shouldn't have brought Stephen.
Do you think that made us?
I really do. I really do. I think that just.
You were the ringleader. No, I'm not having it.
Hang on.
You were the ringleader.
I refuse to be the villain in people's stories in 2024. I refuse. Everyone has to start taking responsibility for their own fucking actions.
Let me set the scene though.
Okay.
We check in. Gorgeous room. Like we're staying in the Paris Court Hotel.
Yeah.
Very nice. And I planned this one because the last one that we did, you didn't really love it. I was like, fuck it. We're just going to go somewhere fancy and nice. And you were like, okay, very nice. I was like, oh, girls, I'm on to a winner. She hasn't found one thing that she's right by yet.
I was also too busy to even care.
So she's like, let's go for a little walk. So we go for a little walk. We'd only gotten back from a lovely walk. And she goes, should we get a bottle of wine? Bear in mind, it was 4:30. And that was the gateway. We had an 8 p.m. dinner reservation in their fancy, fancy schmancy restaurant. And I was like, we were in the room and I was like, girls, should we just move that to tomorrow? Like, let's
yeah,
move
well,
it
you you suggested. Yeah, I would have went and pushed the food around. Like, I don't like to eat when I'm drinking. I just do not like it. It's like, I'm drinking or I'm eating. I'm not doing both. Because then what happens? You vomit. You get bloated. I don't do it.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. So we moved to the next day. Fucking hell, girl. That day too.
Yeah.
I was close to death.
So the next day, we had massages booked and we had dinner booked and we were going to go to the spa and everything. And me and Stephen had joint massages booked in for 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
I woke up, I think I like, oh my God, like it must have been like 10 to 12, I think it was.
Yeah.
We were like, okay, your massage is at 12. I was like, I'm not going. I was like, I'm not going. The last thing I wanted is someone squeezing me.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yeah. No.
Especially if you're feeling a bit queasy.
I was like, no.
So
Stephen went.
Stephen definitely went.
And then Stephen went and they were like, oh, is there one more? And Stephen's like, oh no, I think she's asleep, whatever. And then that bitch fucking rang that phone and I was like, I'm not answering. So she just kept ringing. The beauty therapist kept ringing, and I was like, she's been paid for this. Do you know what? Take the 60 minutes for yourself.
Yeah.
You've been paid. Put your feet up for that 60 minutes. Uh-huh. Downtime for you.
Fully.
So then what does she do?
She moves you to 245 without speaking to you.
Of her own accord, she decides to do a good Samaritan. She moves my massage from 12 o'clock to 245.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and you were still not alive at 245.
I don't want anyone near me. Does she not get the fucking message? And ringing me again.
Yeah.
I said, if that phone rings, I'm going to take it off the hook. It's like,
totally. Meanwhile, I'd gotten into bed at about 4:30 a.m. and I sat up at 7 a.m. going, I'm fucking starving, and went straight down to breakfast at 7 a.m. Now, when I say I looked at my eyes in the lift and they were bloodshot to fuck, I looked like a hag walking through the the halls.
We were in this huge, big, like, it was like a suite basically. Mm. And I heard you kind of getting up, moving around, and I said,
She's like, get back to bed.
I was like, I thought you actually were sleepwalking. I was like, nobody could be possibly. It was, bear in mind, breakfast was at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was like 6:57. She's up. All I hear is the bells going. I was like, take your clothes, go back. I genuinely thought you were sleepwalking. And I was really rude. I was like, go to bed.
You were actually. You kind of screamed at me.
Because I thought you were like, needing to be snapped out of it. No. I was like, no one is actually awake to
but
go.
I sat in the lobby because I couldn't be. I was like, don't be the chunky monkey who's first at the buffet. No, you're not. So I sat there and I saw a man queuing outside. I was like, I'll let him go take a little seat. And then I went in 5 minutes later. I stuck my AirPods in, so I was like, I can't speak to anyone. Yeah. Had a few sausages, went by the spa. My massage was booked for 10 a.m. I went into her again, fully locked, absolutely locked. I was like, hello, could I change my massage to later in the day? So they moved to 3 p.m. I don't think I sobered up until dinner time though. Jesus Christ.
Well, I just felt really tired the next day and I was like, I realized I like to sleep. If there's any kind of disturbance around, like we were sharing room, which normally is fine.
Yeah.
But like, it was really, it would keep me awake. I was just out of being in a different space.
And it was 600 degrees.
Yeah, it was so warm.
I thought you would turn the heat up. So I was like, I'm not going to be rude and turn it down.
Oh my God. I was like boiling a bag of rice.
Oh, it was really mean too. I kept like, the duvet was off, the duvet was on, the duvet was off. Anyway, by the way, the massage. So I got a fella, right? Mm. Full bum out. Yeah. Full bum out? What's that about?
And a blowjob.
Why?
That's not true. That didn't happen, right?
But why does the bum have to be out like?
I don't think it,
and I don't have an impressive bum,
I'm
going to
say he probably just moved it down thinking that was just showing like a little bit nuts, probably normal people's bum, but yours is like just fully out because it's just like a long back.
I was like, oh no, put it away please.
Oh my God. He was like, Jesus, this is a very long back.
Oh my God. Anyway, we were kind of away during all the mad weather, and I know there's been more wet.
Yeah, Jocelyn's on the way.
Is she?
Oh yeah, Storm Jocelyn, that's the next one.
Is another one coming?
Yeah, it's coming today. It's like, actually, that's what the rain is now. So it's due, like, by the way, we're recording this on Tuesday. So
yeah,
that's for all those meteorologists out there.
But it is coming out on Thursday. And yes. We have an announcement later on at 6 p.m., mm-hmm. which we're very excited about. Now, not to brag, but we've had this in the bag for a year. So
yeah, we've been sitting on it for a while because we like to be ahead of ourselves. Yeah. And we have the girls that are organized.
Very.
So we're very excited.
Should we say what it is? Because it's going to come out anywhere later. We won't say who it is.
Yeah, well, we'll be announcing details of our Pride party that's coming up. So, and we are thinking about Pride. Yes, it is January. Yes, it is in June. But also,
we had our headline act booked last July. So that's how organized we were. Because it's really fucking hard to get people. We're very excited.
Yeah, and we kind of tried so many people last year. And I think the way things are falling now, with like London Pride, London Pride events and UK Prides, it's really hard to get people to even come over to Ireland for the night. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
So yeah. So, but we're excited, and it's always a fab fun night. So get your tickets.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be on sale.
Absolutely. And watch out at 6 p.m. on both our Instagrams. We'll announce something. Plus, we do have more acts running. So I'm excited about the others
too. Yeah,
there's
always lots happening, you know, and it's just one of those things. We just want to be ahead of the curve and just have our shit in order.
Yeah, one less thing to do. Right, I need to tell you a little story.
Okay.
Meatball, you know, the drag queen from America. So there was a performance in a talent show on Drag Race.
I saw this. And I didn't see that, but I know, the sign.
The emotional thing. Well, did you see Meatball's version of it?
Yes.
I'm fucking
did
howling.
She do that for you?
No, fuck you. Fuck you. But so Meatball did a piss take of Megami's performance and like was holding up a sign saying protect bad drag, which by the way, fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And now she's selling t-shirts and I was walking in chuckling going, she's going to sell more merch that says protect bad drag than this girl who's on MTV right now, because it's so fucking funny and dumb. And she's looking down, she's emotional going, please protect bad drag. I fucking love it.
Well, let's be real. There's a lot of it out there, isn't there? Like, you know, somebody has to speak up for them. Yeah, God, well, fair play to her. You know, someone has to look out for them. hang on one sec. Hello. Well, we just had a little impromptu guest. We were having a good chat about Barbie there. And then my phone, we were talking about Barbie. What did you like the Barbie movie?
Then the limited edition Black Barbie came in to your podcast.
Literally, here we go. Available on Friday.
Available from Deals.
We have a very special guest, Erica Cody, of course. Yeah. She's going for your song this week. She's on a PR rampage.
Sorry, I love this. And I planned on all my promos stopping for today, so I guess you're the last stop.
Yes. For last.
Remember, we're huge Eurovision fans.
I know.
And your song's a bop. Like,
thank you.
It genuinely really is. Like, it's a banger.
I feel like if it wasn't, you'd tell me.
Oh my God.
I mean, we could tell even more so because when Sophia Hart performed it last Thursday,
Okay, so backtrack.
Sophia was like, I'm telling you now, I'm going to do that next week. I'm just going to do it. I want to do it justice.
I told you. She actually did kill it.
That death drop. Oh my God.
So I believe you're going to do that in the late night.
She basically stole all my choreo.
The reaction was amazing though.
I saw it from the video. Really, I was like, people were actually really into it.
100%.
There was the ones that kind of knew it, and then there was the ones that was like, ooh, what's this? Yeah. You know, really intrigued.
Well,
so
it sounds like a proper banger. So it's like, I played one as DJing on Saturday.
I know, I saw that too.
People were looking and they were like, but it sounds like a proper pop song. Like,
it's a proper little one that you can move to in a club. And you know what, it's mad. It's a real full circle moment for me. Even when you were sending me videos of it in the George, like it's just mad, because being like a black mixed race Irish woman, like I always felt that I was so different in ways, but then I always had, I just found my tribe with all my gay friends, the gay clubs were the first places to play my music. Dillatrix was one of the first queens to ever perform one of my songs, and it's just mad now to actually see it being banged out in a gay club. I'm just like
a good like pop like diva as well.
Like
back in the day, because even like when Samantha Mumba was out there years ago, like the gays loved, like the gays launched her and were like still all about her.
And you know, it's mad because it always felt to me, it was always like the same but different struggle.
Okay.
So I feel like that's why, you know, most of my tribe, like 90% of my tribe are gay anyway. So it's great. It's great to see a few players.
Of you performing in, what is it called? Temple Bar Music Center? It's changed so many times.
The Button Factory. Oh my God, a cupcake.
To open up for Cupcake.
I know.
That was such a wild night as
That
well.
Was mental. I ended up giving some fella a lap dance on a cowboy print shoe shaped chair that my mom has gotten in a charity shop in Sligo. And she brought, like, if anyone knows, my mom, Kiki Stylo, is like, she's absolutely nuts, but nuts in the best way possible. And she was in this charity shop in Boyle or something. Yeah. And she was like, oh my God, you won't believe it. I'm after finding the most amazing prop for you for Cupcake tonight. Like, she was like the biggest Cupcake stan, my mom.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God. And then she rocks up. She's walking around Temple Bar with this shoe-shaped chair in the shape of a stiletto.
They used to have that. I think they had one of Miss Fantasia as well. It was a really sexy chair.
I used to go into Miss Fantasia and play with the ducks out the back. Because my mom used to work across the road. Child Protection Services are going to come for me now. For my mom. She used to work in, what was it called? Like, right across the road. It used to be a bar.
Oh,
I know the one you're talking.
You know, and it's the real tall. The South William. William. Yes. My mom used to work in the South William, and then whenever my dad would be dropping me back after the weekend, and she had a shift on Sunday, I'd be sitting in with my mom on the shift, and she'd be like, "Go over to Miss Fantasia and play with the ducks." So I'd be walking through Miss Fantasia, like, "Oh, what's that on the wall? A big dick." So then I go out to the ducks, have a great time.
I know we got our first heels as well. Is that where you got your first high heels?
This is really cool.
See, I told you, black women and drag queens have so much in common. There's a rack full of wigs over there. I'm loving it.
Because it's like your impromptu, and we don't want to kind of go too much. Tell us a bit what about the plan is for Friday. What's the vibe?
Oh my God, you're getting like an exclusive.
We saw a clip on your story. I know. And I was very excited because it was like hot and tight and looked great.
And it's getting hotter and tighter.
Yeah.
You know, we've been in rehearsals all week. It's been go, 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 go. Another club. Yeah, no sleep. That's literally been my life the last 2 weeks. But what you can expect... It's so hard to say without like giving too much away. Well, you can expect the boys.
Okay.
You can expect the boys.
Nice.
They are definitely coming correct. That's for sure.
Okay. Love it.
Some killer choreo and
there's a lot of stipulations, isn't there, with the Eurosong? Like it has to be kind of like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there has like.
Yeah, there's loads of rules.
The way it's kind of presented, it kind of basically has. You can tweak it a little bit, can't you?
Yeah, you can tweak it. So, like, basically, what we've done is we've created a show for Malmo essentially, and we've stripped it back. For the RT studio, obviously, because we've only so space much that we can work with space, budgets,
camera angles,
everything. So like obviously the bigger picture is to, you know, make obviously big, fingers crossed, get to Sweden and then put on a huge show.
Is it more musically that has to be exactly like as is?
Pretty much. Okay. Yeah. No, you still can, like obviously because Eurosong is its own national final. So, you know, you can change whatever you need to change then for the actual show if you get through. So, and obviously that's exactly, we're just going bigger, going home, you know? So we're just going to throw the kitchen sink at it, and
we're rooting for you.
You've done so many big things, but you've never stopped grafting at the same time.
Yeah,
so I really like, I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you because I think this is very much deserved.
Thank you. It just feels like the right time. I think everything was just aligning with Eurovision, to be honest. Like we've had this song for 2 years. We had some really big names in the UK and the US that were like cutting demos to us, and then I was like, girls, I think I want to do it for Eurovision. And they were like, why would you give it to someone international when it was born at an Irish woman in Harmony writing camp? And we can give it to one of our own.
Amazing.
She got really giddy at your 40th and I did. By the way, I'm working on this amazing song. Thinking Eurovision. And I was like, oh my God, stop. And I was practically pissing myself with excitement there.
Yeah. Then, spilling all my secrets on your 40th.
How do people vote, by the way, on Friday? Because this is coming out on Thursday.
Okay, amazing. Everyone can vote on Friday on the Late Late.
Is it from a specific time to a specific time?
Yeah, so it's similar. If you are familiar with Dancing with the Stars, it's similar kind of format to that. Yeah. Everyone performs and then the voting line's open for a short window. I think
we'll
it might be 15 minutes.
Social media, so yeah,
we'll
be
amazing. Oh, thank you. So thanks so much,
girl. I'll be watching. I love the Eurosong. You know what the Eurosong? It's infamous for, you odious little man.
Odious little man.
There's been so many.
Oh my God, I know.
Over the years, you might be used to women with no brains, but I have a brain.
You sure do, Linda. That's
do
for sure.
Absolutely, like fucking iconic. Like just like there's always something. Like
there's always something. There's always something.
The last couple of years, I've really trying to kind of like keep it calm, but praying that something like kicks off. So exciting.
I know. Well, we always love a little bit of tea.
Just watch it evolve.
Exactly. Listen, I'm just staying in my bubble, staying in my lane and getting the job done, hopefully. Well,
listen, best to look for it. And I think if you get through, you have to come back and we have to have a proper.
Oh no, we have to have a full deep dive.
You're going to be with me on Thursday night. Can we announce that?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. So this is coming out on Thursday. Yeah. Okay, guys. I'll be performing in the George tonight. So make sure you come by. It's going to be a bop and it's going to be the first little taste of your
a little visual.
So,
a
little visual.
What? Ahead of time. Don't take a shot from her on Thursday.
Oh, listen.
Save yourself for Friday. No shots.
When I
this
say.
This is the face of mischief.
It's an in and out job.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, listen, I couldn't not try and fit in a performance at the George. And the amount of people that were messaging me being like, will you please just do a pop up at the George?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, just give me a sec. Let me look at my schedule, see what I can do.
It's a good thing though, because it's kind of like another dry run before 100%. As well.
Yeah. So me and the boys.
A thing, I think it's Thursday as well, because we've had like Leslie Roy.
Yeah.
Rook, yeah.
Like we've had all the people over the last couple of years like come. And so, it's
going to be great. Yeah. I can't wait to vibe. Stick a little number on. Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks for dropping in.
Thanks so much. That was great. I love that.
Erica. Shoved a microphone in her face as soon as she walked through the door.
No such thing as a free meal.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So that was Erica Cody.
Yeah.
She just nipped in. She literally is just, she's obviously performing with me tonight in the George. And she just wants to leave in a couple of artwork moments that I'm going to put into George. So we're basically supporting her and wish her the best.
We love her as well. Like, she is, like, when she was talking about her kinship with, like, the scene, she's been around for so long. Do you know what I mean? It's not even a case of, she is part of our community regardless.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I do kind of see her as a bit of a drag queen as well. It's that kind of like, that, like,
she just puts on a show.
The hustle as well. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah. It's like, she did our pride party 2 years ago. Yeah. Like, love her. Anyway, so everyone, please do get on
give her
a little
vote. Give her a vote.
Yeah. I've had a really bad back.
Okay.
Because I was getting rid of my couch and it's too big. Okay. I have a small apartment, really small. You know that because of how much time we spent together in my apartment during lockdown. And I had to take the front door off. I had to take the sitting room door off. The front door is not closing properly. And I've ripped half the plaster off the wall as well to get it out. Donated to Vision Ireland.
I know this might sound like a silly question, but would you not have maybe cut it in half?
I thought about it afterwards, but then I really wanted to donate it. But the worst part was I told Calvin, open the front door because we'll get it straight out. Mm. I wasn't thinking. So I basically locked ourselves in. We had to sleep with the front door of the apartment open.
Oh my gosh.
It was freezing. I had the heat all on.
Oh God.
Couldn't get into the bathroom. Almost was like, you know, looking for a Brian Thomas bag.
Oh no.
The Patreon girlies will know what that means. I could about just reach my toothbrush and I was paranoid. I didn't sleep the whole night because I thought, like, there'd been someone sniffing around at Christmas around the apartments.
Yeah.
And that's still playing in my mind. I saw someone sniffing around another neighbor, just like dodgy feeling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, right. So I heard a noise at 7 a.m. It's not recording.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I heard a noise at 7 a.m. And I was like, oh my God, what is it? I stood up.
Well, when something like that, it's like you're like a broken window, broken door. You can never sleep fully.
No.
You can't relax. Your mind won't switch off.
Fully. So I heard someone in the hallway and I was like, this isn't good. And the front door of the apartment is not locking properly either, like the actual building.
Yeah.
So it was my next door neighbor and she's peering into the apartment. Right.
She really didn't know what was going on.
No, I think she thought I was broken into.
Yeah.
And it was her apartment that they were nosing at before, and I'd been calling her, going, I'm watching out, don't worry. But then I realized afterwards I'd had a full-blown conversation with her and I was just there in my undies.
Oh my God.
Like, I didn't even like get close because I was so panicked. I was like, that poor, like she's an older woman as well.
She's probably dead now.
She was probably horrified.
No one has actually seen her since that day.
But
so.
The only part
did someone do a welfare check on that woman?
The only part of me that was covered was the bit that I had clothing on. So that it looked like, Jesus. It looked like a new delusion. Like the Spice Girls doing naked back in the day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Like ugly naked guy friends. Do you know, like that?
Ugly naked guy. And also it was like Pivot as well from fucking Friends. But move the couch up and down. So anyway.
Oh my God. Friends, the musical.
I hadn't measured the new couch that was coming today, and so then I was panicking going,
tell me it went in the house.
It came in four parts, thank God.
Oh wow.
But girl, it's a recliner.
Okay.
It's a little electric one and it's got a little wire that you can charge your phone on as well.
Oh, very
it's
good.
Actually very cozy.
Lovely.
Very, very cozy. So I'm excited about that.
Be able to watch loads of movies on that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Loads of movies.
Loads of movies. If the TV license man is listening, just think how many screens are in Victoria's house. She watched movies in the kitchen.
I pay my TV license since I got caught.
She'll have her screen in the, she'll have one in the shower. She'll have one actually in the hallway on the way to the door.
Oh my God. I'll never forget getting caught. That was a bad day.
Well, listen, sure, you live and learn. You live and learn.
I did see Mean Girls and it's the exact same.
Yeah,
Except it has music in it, and some of the music's awful.
Well, it was supposed to be Mean Girls musical, wasn't
it? But
they're
not. Why are they hiding that? So apparently there's this new thing that they were like making these musicals, but they're like not saying that they're a musical. So if you watch the trailer, there's no indication that it's a musical.
I actually commented on the trailer because somebody shared it with me, and I just thought, what is the fucking point of this? Because that movie wasn't made that long ago. It's pretty iconic.
Yeah.
All the people that were in it, the lines that are still quoted from it. And then they released this muck, basically. I'm just like, why? So I was actually kind of borderline offended.
I was a little bit too. And do you know what? Do you know who's probably the worst? Daniel Franzese. Like, he has had most of his career.
I just don't understand why they could not do a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, why not just do a sequel when basically people are crying out for it? Do you know what it has? It's very Hocus Pocus vibes.
Okay, yeah.
It's like people crying out for a sequel for that for like 30 years and we only got it. And the sequel wasn't even, after waiting all that time, it could have been totally done.
And it felt cheap.
When those gals were a little bit younger. Mm. And now this, they could have done a total Mean Girls. Whatever content. They did that, I think it was for Target or Walmart or something. They did the ads where the only person that wasn't in it, I think, was Lindsay. But Rachel McAdams. She was the only one that wasn't in it.
Yeah.
So they could get them together for a Target ad. I'm sure they could have got them together to do some kind of, you know, even a fucking made for TV movie, something. Yeah. But I just thought it was borderline offensive to noughties gays, you know?
Cinema was packed though.
Well,
fucking packed.
Well, again, that's,
and it was with kids as well, to be honest. So maybe it's a good choice. Maybe there's like, someone's just going, we're going to make loads of money. But on Twitter this morning, they're all talking about Rachel McAdams' hair in Mean Girls. Did you see this? So she wouldn't dye her hair for that role of Regina George.
She wore a wig.
But the wig cost 20,000. Because back in that day, wigs, again, were a lot more expensive. And if you like zoom in, it's kind of fascinating to see.
Is that what's going on with Ariana Grande at the moment?
I don't know. Her hair looks weird.
I think that's because she's obviously like, you know, a natural kind of dark-haired girl. And now it's that kind of pissy yellow.
It's not nice, is it?
No, but I think it's not to do with something to do with Wicked, because she's filming Wicked.
Maybe. Did she order it like on Wish and it was supposed to be platinum, but it came and it was like yellow.
I actually think because Glinda, she plays obviously Glinda in the thing, I think, and that, you know, that it's that kind of gold and yellow hair, you know, so I'd say that's probably what it is.
Yeah. Will you go see Wicked?
No, probably not.
No.
Or maybe. I actually know who. Do you know, that's another one. I feel like they're milking that as well. Two parts.
Is it two parts?
Two parts.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's so long that they're going to make it into, and it's going to be at Christmas. So it'll be like this Christmas and then next Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, fuck off. Like,
Yeah.
You know, and like, don't be milking it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not crazy about movies anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's a bit of a weird choice, like
for that role.
I know this is so controversial. I'm just going to say it, but like, I'm not really a big Ariana stan.
Okay,
like I enjoy some of the songs, but it's, and she's super talented, but I just, not for me.
No, I just got some bops though. No,
yeah, she's a couple of good songs, but like, I wouldn't invest in her
as an artist. That's no, the difference.
And I think she's super talented. It's just my personal opinion. Mm. I'm just. Like, I mean, they compare it to Mariah and stuff like that. I'm like, she hasn't got that gusto that Mariah has.
Definitely
or
not.
Or that, it's that interesting thing that Mariah has. I'm just not as interested in her. And for some reason, I always hear her as like a bit of a child.
Yeah, she does.
That kind of child.
Selena Gomez syndrome.
Well, Selena Gomez has kind of grown up a bit.
She's still baby faced though.
Yeah, Ariana just is childlike to me.
Cutesy.
Ethereal. Mm. But anyway, so we have, we're going to move on because we have a very special guest coming in.
Yes.
We have a tarot reader extraordinaire. We have Eddie Christian coming in and he's going to talk all things, you know, mystical.
I love it. I'm very excited for this one.
He has been my psychic for many, many moons. Mm-hmm. And whether you're into it or not, he's a very, very interesting character. So buckle up, buttercups.
And a great storyteller.
Yes.
We'll be back right after this.
Yes. So we are back and we have a very, very special guest. It's been in the making now for a long time.
Yeah.
And we thought that January, start of a new year.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the future is upon us. We have the fabulous Eddie Christian is here.
Yeah.
Now, Eddie, we've been working on this now for ages. We've been talking about this for ages, getting you in. And I was just wondering, like, how would you describe what you do exactly? Because, you know, people say psychic, tarot reader. Like, what would you define your role as? What would you define that as?
Probably would say say psychic, intuitive, gut instinct.
Because it's a very kind of like, broad kind of,
very broad. Okay. Very broad. Okay. Yeah, a lot of people get confused with mediums, people that talk to people that passed over, but yeah. I don't do any of that.
Okay. And so, like, what about like empath? Because they say that as well. That's kind of like part of the...
I think you have to be hugely empathetic.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, so you would define, like, so what would you say? So you'd be psychic, and but you do through the medium of tarot, would you say that?
I do. I do. I use them more as guidelines.
Okay. Yeah.
Where mm-hmm. I kind of go with my gut instincts yeah. a lot, you know?
I'll just get you to move that into yeah. your...
So yeah, yeah, you're perfect. Someone that Davina has spoken about to me for, I'm going to say maybe 15 years. Would you say
yeah.
15 years?
Oh, easy.
Wow. And I always felt drawn. I was like, I must go. And you know, it's one of those things that I just yeah. never got around to it. But then when I sat down with you, I was like, okay, I get it. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah.
Because I feel you're very easy to feel safe in there.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with like, that's delicate things. Do you know what I mean?
But totally.
And I felt safe immediately. I also felt that I could be open, which before I struggled to be open with people anyway.
Right.
I was like, no, I knew I wasn't open. There was no point in me being there, do you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
So you have fascinated me for the best part mm-hmm. of 15 years, but also I feel that you have used your time together as a good guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. Like, yeah. when I first went to you, I think, God, gone back to maybe like,
you don't look any different.
That's a nice thing anyone's ever said to me. I think I was still working at Mac. I think it was probably around 2006, 2007. Oh. But I felt like every time I'd kind of gone to you, I was always in some kind of crisis.
Or there
was,
absolutely. You, that's most people. Yeah.
You kind of need some kind of guidance. Yeah. And you were always, I found, like, bang on the money. And I don't know if that's just that sometimes you're more in tune with certain people than you would with others. And I don't know how that is, but it's not like I would take everything that, you know, you say as God's word or whatever, but it's more guidance, you know, the kind of way.
Love that feedback because that's what I hope people take. Because you don't want to take away people's free will.
And, of course.
You know, it's not about disempowering people. Yeah. It's like getting them to look at things.
And that's what you're
good at. We're so busy, yeah. aren't we? And we don't really look at ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it gives you that moment to sit and kind of go, oh yeah, yeah.
Step outside yourself and have a good view of it.
Yeah.
And tell us now, just because we're going to, so obviously the term psychics and people probably be listening to it, but like, oh, mumbo jumbo, don't believe in that and I don't believe
that's
it.
Okay.
Which is like, horses for courses. I'm like, yeah, we people get whatever they want from it.
Absolutely.
But I do find the whole thing, especially your stories, like so interesting as well. Like, so tell us a little bit about how you either developed like, or how you know you have that gift or the ability to do that, because it is a gift, I think.
When I was very young,
okay,
I mean like 5, 6, I had an amazing mom.
Okay.
You know, really amazing. But she wasn't a woman who'd be into kind of looking outside at things. It was like she had a very hard life, you know. She had me at 18. It was very difficult. But I had this mad obsession with reading in general.
Oh, wow.
And I wouldn't have had that background where there would have been a lot of access to books and stuff. Yeah. I was quite poor.
Okay.
And but on a Saturday, she used to bring me to buy books.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, by the time I was 6, I got obsessed with like mediums and psychics.
Wow.
And I just think she was so liberal. It's like, when we think about it, would you give that to a child, read that now?
And how, like in what way? Like, was there books about that?
Biographies of like a lot of Victorian mediums and psychics and even musicians. Yeah. Magicians. And just stuff like that. And I didn't really think anything about it. I just thought, oh, that's really fascinating. I didn't have I was too young to kind of
understand it.
I just thought, oh my God, it was like, you know, the way you have fairy tales.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's all these spirits and angels. And And then that kind of was just the way it was until I was about 12. And then I was started hanging out with much older kids.
Yeah.
Like,
you had mentioned to me about your grandmother before.
That's right. But that was later on. But so I was hanging out with kind of these older kids. And I still had this kind of interest. And I met some older, like teenagers that were into that. Now, I mean, like probably a little bit more off the wall stuff, you know, like Ouija boards. Stuff, yeah.
I think everyone kind of has that thing.
I was always too afraid.
That's why you never, Holy Spirit activators never came to you.
But long story short, so we ended up going to a psychic fair.
Okay.
And there was this really famous tarot reader lady. And I sat down. I remember she had this big cardigan on and she looked at me. And it was really expensive, like to go and see her. You know, when you're that young, money is tight. And she said to me, you could do this yourself.
Oh, wow.
And I just sat there and I thought, no, I wouldn't have this talent.
Yeah.
So she brought me to the end of this big, huge hallway where they were selling tarot cards, and she brought me a pack of tarot cards.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And she said, go home and practice. So I went home, and about 3 weeks into it, I was at home, and I wasn't really practicing because I was kind of getting it really quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was picking up stuff, and I was like, am I imagining this, you know? And then these friends I had, they're like, oh, my mum would love, you know, the way kids gossip.
Yeah.
Your man's got the tarot cards and he could do fortune telling. They'd put me on this other level.
Yeah.
And it just got bigger and bigger.
Right.
Oh.
Suddenly it was like people like we do parties and all. And I was always a little bit clever for, you know, getting ahead in myself. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm going to charge.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that was my first bit of luck. Then the second piece of luck after that was I was in this health shop. The lady owned it. And I went in and she said, oh, you know, we're chatting away and all. And I said, yeah, I'm mad into tarot. Because it was kind of that new agey beginning period in London where it was people were just getting into crystals more and all that kind of stuff.
What year, like, roughly would this have been around?
Really early 80s.
Okay.
And she said, she can use my storeroom. So that was my next opportunity that got me more customers. And then, I can't really remember, guys, such a long time ago, but about a year or two after that, a friend of mine's cousin had a radio show.
Yeah.
And he said, you should come in because we've got the graveyard period, you know, 12 at night, where nobody listens, and we got to fill it and we're something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I literally thought he was joking. This was a Friday. Mm-hmm. I'd say the Monday came and he came around to the flat, and I was like, my mother was like, who's he? Still, he's a radio producer. He wants me to do the show. Full of myself, I was. But it worked. And then it got bigger and bigger. And so it just literally went from that.
Yeah.
And then I started doing gigs and house parties and festivals and blah, blah, blah.
There is with tarot, there is a kind of like a guide, isn't there? Like, obviously, like the you know, the images that are on the card, there's different cards and they kind of do have
symbolic
meanings.
Yes.
But I think the whole idea of a tarot, I suppose, is to kind of be in tune with what the cards are saying. Isn't that the idea?
Personally, I can't speak for anyone else. I can see them in my mind's eye.
Okay.
And I see a flat screen, like a TV, like a flat blue screen.
Yeah.
And literally before the person now, before I've even met the person, if they've booked a reading, I literally tune in. I sit there for 2 minutes and I just trust what that image is, what tarot card appears on that screen.
Wow.
And that will give me a rough guideline. So then when the person walks in, I'm not starting cold. I've got a kind of skeleton framework to know what to work from.
Well, because my first time going to you was recently, and that is what happened.
Yeah.
And you said things before I'd even sat down that I was like, oh, okay. Because again, I haven't had much experience in it, but you had really...
To trust that, you see, that screen, that image, that whatever it is. And I don't know where that came from. Mm. It just appeared.
Yeah.
I've got to trust that implicitly because it is a stranger.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you always think, what if I get it wrong?
Yeah.
It's a huge moral issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've just learned to trust her. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of weeks ago, this woman rang me and I kind of came into my, because I'd done this sort of the warm up in my head.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, the fella that's around you, he's not the right one. And she was like, no, there's no fella.
Oh.
So I was sitting there and I was flummoxed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I thought, this doesn't happen. Because I knew there was. I mean, 2 minutes into the conversation, she was going on about this guy that she was casually seeing.
Okay.
So it's kind of a test of, she was saying, no, there's nobody.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of hold that and go, well, there actually is, or it wouldn't be in my mind's eye.
Right.
So,
is that like about your kind of like, so
it's totally the gut instinct.
It's good, isn't it? And I suppose there's lots of different ways of kind of, what would you say, saying that, but everyone does have that kind of the gut instinct.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, you were saying,
everyone could be a brain surgeon if they wanted to be, couldn't they?
Well, maybe not everyone.
Well, it depends what level we'd be, you know. True. But I think if you're passionate, and I've always been very passionate about that, and the amount of help it brings to people and comfort and it's such a lovely feeling when someone comes in and they're so stressed out and you kind of put the pieces together. I mean, it's not a miracle, you don't solve anything, but I think it kind of makes them go,
do you think it's okay. Sometimes about you know, if somebody goes in with an issue that maybe they haven't spoken about, or there's something that they're...
Yeah, I've had people come out to me.
Like
kind of, because it's almost like if you see behind the curtain that somebody's trying to hide something, it's like it's like a release almost.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because in 42 years I've met famous people.
Yeah.
Like, obviously can't say who they are.
Yeah.
And you learn about, don't take public image as the real person.
Yeah.
Mm. Priests.
Well,
like... nobody's told me anything that was so dark that it would frighten me.
And
you know, nothing that I would call illegal. That immoral issue has never come up. That I've questioned that. I was like, well, if someone told me something like a murder, which I've never done.
Not till, you know, there's always today.
it was a few years ahead. But and sometimes it taps into yourself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It brings up stuff you've been through.
That's what I was going to say. So if people are coming in stressed or worried or like whatever, are you taking that on as well? And like,
No. You learn to be really detached because that's your ego. Okay. I mean, yes, I probably in the beginning, in my early 20s, I was like, they need me. Mm. I'm amazing, you know, but that's because I didn't really know who I was. And that was kind of creating this persona and like, oh, I must be amazing. Because you have to clue who you are when you're in your 20s.
But I feel like if you know things or you can connect with things of people that they haven't disclosed or shared, that is kind of impressive where people would be kind of, you know, drawn in and you'd be like, wow. Like it's very intoxicating, you know, the way.
It's very hard to see it though, guys, when you're on the other side of it. Because to me, it's so natural.
You're just saying what you feel.
Yeah, but sometimes I do kind of give myself a little praise and I go, that's actually quite amazing that I know that.
Yeah.
But then I go, it's not me knowing it. I'm just a receiver.
Right.
And that's where you have to remove your ego from it. And I think that's where a lot of psychics go wrong. I've seen that when I was younger, where they start thinking they're the oracle.
Yeah. Mm.
You're on your radio receiver, I think.
And what would you say to somebody that...
And you have to love people.
Yeah, you do. Well, definitely. Yeah. I think anyone working with the public, you have to somehow.
I'm massively empathetic to the point where I'd get up off a seat on a train if I was feeling someone's emotions.
Oh my God. Okay, well, because what was in my head was, what has this been like for dating? Because if you're receiving things and then you're with this person on a whole other intimate level.
Yes.
That has to be...
Never tell them.
Challenging.
Never tell them.
So you might sense it, but you wouldn't say it.
I tell them I work in a... normally I say, do you know what, guys? It sounds horribly arrogant, but 9 out of 10 times they recognise me.
Oh, yeah.
Or their friend's been to me. Mm-hmm. Oh,
because you are kind of like prolific around town. Yeah. And you have like... So basically you used to work under Miss Fantasia for a long time.
20-odd years. Amazing.
You're based now in the design centre.
Temple Collective. Temple it's a Collective. Whole new beginning.
Okay.
Amazing place. Amazing people.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh my God. I think it's my fifth venue in my career.
Wow.
And it's like, this is the place I dreamed of. Lovely. It's just the energy of the people in there. So lovely.
It's a creative space.
Back to the dating thing.
Yeah.
Do you want a fun story about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I like the cheeky face that came with that too.
How can I put this? Let's just say I went on a date. Mm. And after the date, the person said to me, I know who you are.
Okay.
And I actually can't mention too much about it because it actually involved a really tragic situation. But repeated back to me the reading.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he had been to see you.
Yeah, I felt a bit deceived because I thought we've spent a date of 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you have not mentioned the fact that you were a client once.
Yeah.
And... I remembered the case because it involved a tragic death.
Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't in Ireland, the death, but, and he was quite impressed. And I remember thinking, do you know, I don't think I would go on a date with him again. Cause I was like, I think he was more, it was really bad for my ego, but I think he only took me on the date because he was impressed by my work, not me. You know what I mean? It was like, know what I mean?
No, 100%. That was a bit sad. I've tried before. People like some people along the way have been interested for the wrong reasons.
I find that so weird. Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I think again, it's because we're on the other side of it, you know, but I've been in that situation before where I've gone on a date with someone and then they kind of say, I know who you were, but I would probably be like, well, why didn't you say something?
Yeah, that's what I felt.
He'd be like, well, why didn't you say something? Somewhere in this weird cat and mouse game, and I'm just like, do you know what? I'd leave it there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It wasn't good for my ego, guys. I was that's not great.
In your situation, if you were to get with someone and you would obviously get vibes off them, if you were in a situation like, and you would feel something or you'd sense something from them.
Yeah, I do really quickly.
Yeah.
So I normally go, yeah, we'll match, or... You're a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that must be hard to kind of explain to somebody else. Do you know the kind of way?
Mm-hmm. A really healthy person will always say, that sounds like a really interesting job. What's the annual turnover?
Yeah.
That's the type I like to date. Yeah. The ones that go, oh my God, can you feel anything off me? No, they won't be getting a second date because that's the me's.
Yeah.
But no, I've...
can you feel anything off me?
Yeah, I've had that a few times. They're like, so... what do you feel about music? Like, am I amazing? You know,
but it must be a little bit kind of intimidating, because if you, I'm just putting myself in a situation where you go, I'm going on a date with someone. There's like, you would think, shit, they know. they
can see through me.
You know that kind of way. Yeah. You would just be a little bit on edge, you know. But obviously, if you just would, you know.
Yeah.
Like I think
healthy people that I've dated though really don't think about it.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't, honestly, guys, I don't really normally mention it in the first few dates, no.
Of course.
Because it's not like, we all build a profile. If we're going to date and someone tells you they're a doctor, you've built a profile, haven't you?
Yes, big time. You do, that's so true.
So they're not thinking, so if I'm mentioning that, they're going to bring into the play all the bits of information which are quite scatty about psychics, or they've watched a horror movie, or God knows what. They've created this profile of me without getting to know me.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know?
And that's what I was going to say. So if you were saying this, like giving advice to somebody that was thinking about tarot, going to see a tarot reader or a psychic, what would you, because you had a bit of a reputation. Like, I worked in Mac, of course, and there was lots of girls, and the girls love a good reading, and you had got a bit of a reputation where you would say sometimes, can't read you.
Yeah, I think it's very unfair to, if you don't feel, first you've got to like the person.
Yeah.
If I was to say to anyone who wanted that as a career, I'd say, first you've got to like them.
Yeah.
You can't do it unless you've got this natural click with them. And the other thing is, if you're not feeling you're on par and you're on level, what is the point? It's too much energy. You're not doing them any good. You're not doing your own. So I think it's fair to say to people, do you know what? I don't think it's for you today.
Yeah.
Or possibly I'm not the right person for you.
Do you think as well, some people kind of go into it kind of close, kind of like you're going to, it's like almost expecting you to crack a code. You know,
yes,
like,
yeah. Like, well, every story you could think of, some people come in and they're wide open. You're like, yeah, shall I talk?
Yeah.
Some people just come in and talk.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there and you're like, what did I actually do and get paid for?
Do you know what though? Because I think that when we were talking anyway, there was a little element of, oh, this is therapeutic as well.
Yes, I hope
so.
I
think that is part of what you're doing anyway. Because I left going, I felt different about certain things. Do you know what I mean?
Good.
Which is nice. But how did you end up in Ireland then?
That's a really simple one.
Okay.
I'm not actually English.
Are you not? Tell us. So we want to know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Tell us the beginnings. Tell us.
So my lovely mummy decided in the 60s that a small town in Ireland was not for her.
Okay.
So her and my dad had £3, bought 2 boat tickets.
Yeah.
I went to London.
Right.
Okay.
And were you born in the UK or were you born here?
Born in the UK, but totally lucky that I've been so immersed to, like, we're talking, I'll show my age now, but we're talking my mum being so healthy about that. So when I finished school in April, May, she'd put me on a plane from 5 with the air hostess to go and stay with her mother in Skerries for the whole summer so that I'd remember I was Irish and be...
Yeah.
You know, so that I wouldn't get disconnected from that. So,
which is great, because a lot of people didn't do that. They were just totally just like,
oh God, no. Yeah. You know, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
And then when I kind of reached a plateau with my work in London, I was like, where do I really want to be?
Yeah.
And I thought, I want to go home. Yeah. And I never felt, I know this is strange and because of my accent and everything, but I felt like I wasn't home.
Wow, yeah. I can understand.
And then
that.
When I went to Skerries, which is where I live now, thankfully, which I adore.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. And as soon as I live in my granny's old house, I was lucky enough to inherit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, that's home. Mm. It's just always been home.
Well, it is where the heart is. And I think it's like wherever you feel like.
I forget I have an English accent until people say it to me. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, you're probably here longer anyway, are you? You're probably like based here longer than you were in the UK.
Oh, God,
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well then.
Yeah. Like, I add up the years and it's like, yeah.
And we were talking
before. I get a lovely compliment when I go on holiday. I got it in Spain once. Sounds right. But the manager called me out and he went, you're not English, are you?
Yeah.
So I went, not really, no. And he went, I thought not with your personality. And he meant that as a huge compliment. And I was like, oh my God. So that was a lovely moment where I was like, oh, that comes across. You know, I like to be an ambassador for that.
And like over the years.
The English people are lovely, I'm sure, you know.
You mentioned your granny there and we spoke about her before, me and yourself. And she had said something. She had like an ability as well, wasn't
it? My granny had a huge ability, but was clever enough really to kind of keep that very masked. And we have to remember, that's someone from a very religious background.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, my granny was an amazing woman, but she was very religious.
Yeah.
So I think she had that conflict. Yeah.
And what did she see something?
She kind of told me, and it was interesting. She kind of revealed more of that when I was much older.
Yeah.
Like in my late 20s.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually healthy. It probably wouldn't have been healthy to tell me that when I was small.
Yeah, true. Like, yeah. And it's so funny because there was that weird.
But I think Irish people in general are quite intuitive. Quite spiritual people.
Yeah. I like one thing that always, like anytime I go to, like if I've been to psychic, or I was telling you before, I went to see an astrologer.
Okay.
And she had told me before that, because I was making this joke that I was born under a grey cloud. I'm like, oh, because everything always fucking happens to me. There's always a story.
Oh, is that like the curse? Everyone thinks they're cursed.
Yeah,
I'm
talking about, oh, fuck. And
they're lessons. They're not curses.
Well, you know, there's always a story. There's always, and she said to me that I was born in like the 12th house of the zodiac, which was actually, I think I'm like a Leo with a Leo rising, which is kind of like, it's kind of good and kind of bad, but she said that there was
I know nothing about astrology.
Like the house, I think it's called the house of bewilderment is the house of it. And I just thought, I was like, oh, that doesn't sound great. And she kind of said what you're in, that it just basically means that you will always kind of seek out adventure. You'd seek it. You're curious, you know, whether it's bad or good. Yeah. And I would go, that kind of explains a lot, you know, but she said that you would naturally kind of, you know, be a psychic or a healer. You have that kind of energy about you.
Yeah, healer, definitely.
And like you're saying, like I take on a lot of people's, like I feel very empathetic to people.
Yeah.
So much so even when I was a kid, like I would cry over seeing, you know, someone else fall.
Yeah.
I've always felt that. And I've tried to kind of block that out a good bit.
Yeah.
Because it's very, because you feel so vulnerable when you're like that. You know, like, but I think a lot of people do feel like, you know.
I'm almost like that with animals.
Yeah. I'm like that as well. I try to block it out because it makes me so upset where I can't function, you know, that kind of way. So that's not good. Like, you know, you lose
probably my job, you learn to be a little bit more detached. Yeah. And also, so you have to kind of sit back and go, it's egotistical of me personally to think I can help everybody or fix everybody. And what I learned was, okay, that's their spiritual lesson.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've got to, in fact, I think we go through a lot of pain, but that's how we grow.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why I'm such a positive person about everything. Yeah. People go, you're never down. I'm like, no.
Like, obviously you've been doing it for
42 years.
42 years. But has there been a moment where you thought, oh God, I actually can't continue that?
Probably during the Celtic Tiger when it really got out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so busy that my life literally was. There was a point where there was a few years where it was literally work, bed, work, bed.
Yeah.
I was seeing like, 25-30 clients a day. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. You had,
and avoided my own life as well because you've no energy.
Right. You had told me there was an RTE show, wasn't it?
That's right, yes.
So,
the late Jerry Ryan did that, The Day in the Life.
So was that the day
that
in life?
That propelled me even bigger. Yeah, that took...
It was like a documentary style, was it?
It was, it was basically intertwined three different documentaries of three people's different lives.
Oh, wow.
In Ireland. And... again, that was by fluke.
Yeah.
I was talking to the right person who knew somebody and next thing I knew, they were in my house shooting for 2 weeks.
And did you read Jerry?
Took 2 weeks to shoot.
Did you read Jerry Ryan? Was that part of it?
Now, no, it's funny. I said this to a friend today at lunch. I never actually met Jerry Ryan. He just did the voiceover.
No way.
Yeah.
That's wild. Well.
But obviously the exposure of that was huge because it was on RTE. It was on Prime Time and TV.
And everyone watched TV at that time as well, so it would have been like...
Different, and that took, that propelled it.
Yeah.
And that caused it to be so busy that, in answer to your question, I think that at the height of that, when I was doing 5-6 days straight row, seeing that amount of people, I think I seriously got burnt out.
Okay. Yeah.
But in my gut, I knew it wouldn't last.
Yeah.
And I kept saying that to my friends, this kind of height, I always think you're going to laugh now. I always think it's like you're in a band.
Yeah.
You don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
You get discovered.
Yeah.
Your flavor of the month.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Where do you go from there?
And then you just end up, you know, you're not as popular anymore and you end up doing gigs.
Do you think that's to do with trends as well?
Trends, definitely trends.
Because I think there's like, you know, there's like, I think everything goes through like ebbs and flows, you know?
Yeah.
And although psychics have always been popular.
Yeah.
What would you say? Like, what would be the main kind of focus that people would come to you for? I feel like there's always something that people want to know.
Well, I have been thinking about this morning because I knew you'd ask me. I was on the train. It is interesting because I think it's a reflection of society. So when I started out, it was all about relationships.
Yes.
And unfortunately now it is about others, like money. Finances, yeah. Money. Mm. People aren't as...
connected.
As connected to that. Yeah. Like it was... Mm. The number one question would always be a relationship. I would say the number one question now would be, how am I going to survive financially? Wow. Right. And houses? Mm. And where am I going to live?
Yeah, it says a lot, doesn't it?
It says a lot.
Wow. That's actually quite sad.
It is, yeah. Quite sad. Yeah. It is quite sad. Because it would have been 9 out of 10 times when I started out, and certainly probably up until maybe 9 years ago, yeah. 10 years ago, that would have been the number one question. And but I also like it because, yeah. I think that those women aren't kind of searching, yeah. as much. They're not like, oh, I have to have a fella. He's the number one priority. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. The people are just kind of going, do you know what? That's
who I need a roof over my head first. Yeah.
or to survival mode is different. Yeah.
Stability, like.
And more stability in themselves. Mm. I think girls now are more...
independent.
More independent, yeah. More aware. And I think that's fantastic.
The only thing I think when you said that there, I feel like there are a lot of people, I don't want to say disposable, but everything is a bit more, we go through things much quicker. Like, yeah. You know, everything is a bit more, you know, the attention span.
Well, I was hoping that people had realized that nobody was going to be everything and that, you know, that was just going to be a cherry on the cake.
Yeah.
I think this is my perspective. When I started out, it was like this, I'm going to meet this person, then I'm going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? This is going to, nothing else matters. That's going to totally fulfill me. Whereas I think people are more sort of aware now that that is a bonus.
Yeah.
But their own fulfillment is more important.
Yeah. Have you ever had a situation where somebody had made...
I've had every situation.
I knew you were going to say, I knew you had. That's why I just want to hear the antidote to it.
Okay. So
if somebody came in and say you give a reading or whatever, and you say this, like X, Y, and Z, and then would people take it like for God's word, where they'd go off and they'd be like, you said this was going to happen and this didn't happen? Or would some people be raging, or what have that ever happened?
I don't know. I mean,
come back to you like return of customer.
In answer to that, and I'll try and answer it in pieces. The first part I would say is I'm very lucky. I have some amazing people I love that I've seen probably for over 30 years.
Yeah. Mm.
So
people are coming back to you for a reason as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you develop this kind of, I wouldn't call it friendship, because you've got to define that boundary.
Yeah.
And also, really, it's like, do they want Eddie or do they want Mr. Psychic, you know?
Yeah.
Negative. I've been really lucky.
Yeah.
I would never Google myself. Of course I've been trolled and people will use you as a vehicle. But do you know what is interesting, guys? And I can't say it about all criticism I've ever received, and it is quite small, thank God. But I've never actually met these people that write this stuff. My favorite ever I ever read... By default, it was literally a mistake, was someone called me a diva. And I'm sure there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if I ask my friends, I'm the least demanding diva-ish person I know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought it was a bit homophobic, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, we're just
gay kind of.
And I don't think I'm like that. I'm not.
And I'm quite simple. In ratio to like men and women, like, would you get like a varied mix, or would it be, I'd say a lot of women would lean in.
It used to be 8 out of 10 would be women.
Yeah.
But that has changed.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I love dealing with guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I love the fact those guys are more open.
Yeah.
I love that. So yes, I think it's increasing.
Do you think men are more open now than before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
like obviously like in the past you would have had, say, like people coming in and they'd be saying, you know, telling their husband they're going in to see it or whatever. And I'd say like people like, oh, what are you going in there for? Do you know, like people.
I think that's gone now. Yeah. I think we're different type of guys now. Mm. I think we've become more...
Everyone's open to it a bit more.
Yeah.
When I went to you recently, you said things that were... really interesting about us and our relationship over time.
I've forgotten, by the way. That's another thing. I always forget what I've said to someone.
That's a good thing, though, isn't it?
It totally goes.
No, but it's sat with me. And like, because as people who listen to this definitely know, we've had like a long friendship. And I suppose energy has changed throughout the years. But things that you said really hit home with me on that day.
Because I didn't even know anything about you doing this. Honestly. Because I live, you know, a very simple life. I don't even know how you access a podcast. That's the truth. I'm the person who buys a microwave with the key because they mention numbers. And I'm like, no.
We'll send you a link.
You will need to. Yeah, I'm not technical. Sorry.
It was just more so, it felt like you could see into the story of our friendship, if that makes sense.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because I left and I was very much going, okay. It kind of reaffirmed what I was feeling already.
Oh, well, that's why. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I always say to the clients, if it doesn't resonate with you and it doesn't confirm something you kind of thought, then I'd be weary.
Yeah.
Because I don't like this. If it doesn't make sense to somebody, you've actually left them in more turmoil than helped them.
Yeah.
Then they're in confusion.
Yeah.
You know, so you should confirm.
As I said about turmoil, like every time that I've been to you in the past,
I've always loved you from the first time I met you.
Well, I've always been like in different stages of crisis, but like obviously wouldn't disclose, and you always just picked up on things straight away and were so specific with things that like nobody could kind of know. And it wasn't in a kind of like I'm summoning the, you know, it was just it was kind of matter of fact, but I feel like your energy was in tune.
I always thought, guys, in the beginning, I thought if I've got to do props, I'm not very talented. And actually what was interesting, going back, I actually thought, I think at one stage I was in my early 20s and I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to be me and it'll probably fail and that's fine. Then I've got to grow up and get a proper job.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that just worked. And I instinctively in my gut, I always thought, if I'm just me, it will work.
Yeah.
It's like you're coming to see that friend.
Cool, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who really listens.
And it is kind of like that, because the last time that I went to see you just recently, I was like, there is no kind of crisis in my life. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like we just ended up kind of having a chat, you know, that kind of way.
Checking in, I thought. Yeah, I thought it was checking in.
And there was nothing kind of like, you know, and we still was reading was fabulous and there was no kind of, but there was no like...
I should make it look harder, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I should. I've often thought that. I've done it so long that it looks like it's really easy to do.
But I think maybe the fact that you're a gay man as well, it's like you kind of, it's easier to kind of talk about relationships. So you kind of get it more.
Really?
Whereas I think if you were going to see
I'm glad you brought that point up. Yeah.
I feel like I've had friends that have gone to see females, like they'd be like, oh, there's kids on the way. And they're like, really? You know what I mean? Like, not going to happen.
But guys, you know, in every field, there's going to be good people, bad people, chances. I mean, that is it. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure I've got my critics as well. I mean, people don't always hear what they want to hear.
Yeah, that's
but
what
you're not
say.
There to people, please.
So like, what would you say to people that like would have been to you and they're like, oh, I just didn't find that was good for me, or I didn't find
they could
that
be right. Maybe I wasn't good for them. Or
do you think that's an energy thing? Or
I've never thought about it, but what would I say? It's such a minefield of what they were expecting.
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. That's their part in it. My part would be maybe I wasn't on the ball as I should be. But you know, the way I look at that, guys, I'm human.
Yeah.
And I'm not always going to hit the bullseye.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I think that's very important to know as well.
I think you have to be. And I think it's really important. And I was really lucky because I did meet a lot of... I never met any male psychics when I was very young. They were all female. I was going to say old people, but now I'm the age group. And I remember thinking they had massive egos.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I remember from meeting these people. They were like, you know, thinking they were really special.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, if I ever got like that.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems very, they were all very, this is the examples I met. They were very money-minded, very egotistical. And I remember thinking, I wasn't, and I would say this hand on heart, I never, at 14 years of age, when I did my first paying gig, thought, oh God, this is all about the money.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you don't when you're 14. Mm. I don't think you do.
Yeah.
And I never thought I was particularly special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's different. Yeah. Now I'm older. I'm like, yeah, I'm better than average. Yeah, definitely better than average. But that's taken a lifetime. Yeah.
And tell me this, like, as we said, like, I've
and you do that by not by exception, you're not perfect.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's, and also, I think probably realizing that no one else is perfect.
Yeah,
no,
you know, and giving people a bit of grace. But as I said, I have been to see you like before, and you've been very specific with certain things, and most things you've told me have been very good. And sometimes you just needed to hear that, especially when someone doesn't. But that's only my experience. But what would you say? What does the future hold for you? What's next? Could you do actually? You've veered off a little bit. You're kind of into like a little bit of antique furniture vibes.
Yeah.
And you have other passions.
I have other passions. Yeah. And you know what's interesting about that? I think it's made me love my day job more.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, probably because you're not focused on one thing.
I think that's what it is, and nice. I think it's given me other stimulus, or it's re-stimulated something in me.
Yeah.
But I toy with those things, and they're fun, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a point where you get to where I think I always say this is the greatest period. I'm in my late 50s and I'm like, this is the period of my life I love the most.
Okay.
Because it's like, don't care what anyone thinks. Mm-hmm. Never really did anyway. I was quite blessed there because I was like, And I just be more creative and just living.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah.
And keeping it simple.
And what would you say if anyone wants to come see you, what advice would you give or how will they find you? Tell us a little bit about that.
As in,
if they want to come see you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
WhatsApp me.
Yeah. Wait, are you on Facebook, Instagram?
Instagram.
You actually will share the links as well.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and it's in Temple Collective.
Yeah.
You know, 23 to 24, Temple Lake South, Dublin 2.
Yeah, we'll share those links. Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe something to finish up on was somebody was asking,
yes.
Do you get feelings for what's coming up for the year ahead? Do you know that kind of way?
In general?
Yeah, like just a general feeling, like, is that something that is like...
I never think of that. No, because I think that's very generalized. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
No, I don't kind of go down that road or, you know... I try not
to. You didn't predict all these storms that are happening right now anyway.
But the way I would look at that is like, it's going to come, it's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's Ireland. We're not expected to wake up tomorrow in 45 degree heat, are we?
That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen.
Only thing that upset me on the storm was I'd put out a full wash on the line and I was like, oh, now I'm that age where I worry about my wash and blowing away.
Well, listen, I think that's a nice way to wrap up. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for chatting.
Oh, it was so brilliant.
Absolutely loved it. You're just such a really easy person to talk
and
to.
And that's one thing that I want to stress is like that if you actually want to go and just kind of like talk to the tarot, as I'd say, and go and talk to Eddie, because it's actually just quite a nice experience to have. You know?
Oh, God, that's so sweet. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love it.
Okay, so we're back and it is, of course, a time of the week. But before we do, have we any new patrons that we could give a little shout out to?
Oh, yeah, we absolutely do.
Before we get into it.
Let's do it. Okay, so if you want some extra juice on the juiciest juice, you can find us on patreon.com/pettylittlethingspod.
And you will get some fabulous little extra juicy episodes. You will get some video content. You will get some really fun little tidbits of... Yes.
Okay, so we've got an eclectic few shout outs this week. Uh-huh. We've got Patrick S, who I think is from Australia because it says Australian dollars.
Oh,
I'm an Aussie cow, so I'm trying to find out where everyone's from.
Can I say also over the Christmas I got a message from somebody just out of the blue, and it said, "What is rotter of the year?" Right, and I said, "Oh, it's like something that rots you." And he's like, "Oh," and he's from Australia, and he thought it meant. Like rooted, you know they say to get rooted in Australia. That was like basically like ride of the year, like rooted, the best fuck of the year. Like, so
that's not a bad idea.
No, I was like, I'm not averse to that.
I just have to get to meet it into 20,000 miles in the sky and fill her full of champagne. I'm like, come on, tell me, girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so Patrick S, we have.
That's for sexy.
We've Adam Dunn. Hi, Adam.
What's done is done.
Oh, we've got Shane Rafferty. We love Shane Rafferty.
Hi, Shane. Shane actually works for the tourist board, I think.
Yes, yes, he does.
So welcome aboard, Shane.
Absolutely. Shane, you probably get all the best trips.
Yeah.
We're available anytime, Shane.
We go anywhere as a goodwill ambassador.
The next one is called
genie type cunt, and I'm not joking.
Oh my god!
And I thought about texting you when that person signed up, but then I was like, no, I need to see your face.
Genie type cunt.
Genie type cunt.
I know a few type cunts.
And then we've got Dara Comer.
Yes,
I think it's Dara, or is it Doira? Dara.
Dara, I think.
D-A-I-R-E.
Well, we're going to make an executive decision say Dara. And Dara actually said, he was actually questioned, he actually sent me a message, is it worth it? And I said, yes, of course it is. Unless you're a type cunt.
But love to you, Genie, for sure.
Love to you, Genie, too.
Right, let's get into some Rotters.
Yes, it's our favourite time. Hit it. So we're back and it is Rotter of the Week. What has been Rodney? I've actually haven't been really rotted this week.
I have a few things and I have one that makes no sense. So I clearly wrote it drunk. First is Luke Bruton sent this in as a suggestion. So okay. I thought I'd read it out. In and Out lists are Rotter, are his Rotter of the Week.
Oh,
the way
yeah.
everyone was doing this.
I knew this was going to come up.
It's kind of good. It was rotten me as well because some of them were so boring and basic.
And also like the thing about Rotter of the Week is, what I love about it is it's a personal Rotter of the Week. It's not it's not actually telling everyone how to feel or saying what's in it. What is it? Who are you to say what is in and out?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Fully. Well, apparently he is not
who
having
us. Who was the first to start that? The first person I saw doing it was Jodie Harsh.
Me too. I was going to say, either way, let's blame Jodie Harsh.
But do you think she
did it first?
Yeah. I don't know.
No. Someone in America probably did it. And she just,
So what's your first Rotter of the Week?
Okay. First Rotter of the Week is products that say they're resealable, but they're not fucking resealable.
Oh.
Okay. Resealable ham.
Yes. That's top of the list.
Has been a thing for years. Mm-hmm. Apparently now Carol's have a new one called I got like two packets and they worked. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's amazing. I've been getting more Carol's ham. Have any of them resealed?
No.
No.
Is that the one that's like a little envelope?
Like an envelope, and then you tear off this little bit and it's supposed to stick on. The last two have not even had the thing to tear off.
I think Denny were the first to bring that out and was like, there's reseal.
Yeah.
But they just, once you break the seal, they just like don't close again.
Useless.
So what I would always recommend is have a little sandwich bag.
Yeah.
And just like, you can just, because they will seal. They will seal.
They will seal.
And also same with bacon.
Yes.
Streaky bacon. Like, and they, because if you don't seal bacon, it goes like that weird kind of hard, kind of like
gross. But like, just don't call it resealable.
Yeah.
If it's not resealable.
No, I agree. That's a Rotter we can all relate to.
Yeah.
My first Rotter of the Week is actually celebrity brands bringing out a product. Celebrity brands that bring out a product and say, this is revolutionary. I designed this product because it was something that I couldn't get on the market. I want to use this. So I brought it out.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to use an example. Now, I've seen a few brands do this because I love a beauty product and I love makeup brands. I love all that kind of side of things. And I love the technology of designing a product. And I do love if you get something that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare now. But it is getting to the point where it's oversaturation, I think, with beauty products. And the market is so swamped. I almost feel myself veering back a little bit to the basics.
Mm.
Like,
I don't know how you keep up with it, because sometimes you will even be walking through Boots and you're like, oh, I need to try this. And we're going straight over to this brand that I've never heard of in my life. How do you keep up with it? Where are you hearing about
I do watch what YouTubers, like if they get PR drops and they're looking like, you know, say they say what's new in Sephora or what's new here. I want to try a product. Yeah. Like, I just like trying things. Just to be honest, I buy so much makeup still, because it excites me about kind of like finding something that I haven't already found.
Right.
And your face is only so big. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you can only wear so much. And you kind of end up going back to the same things all the time. But I think from working in makeup and stuff, I'm naturally kind of interested in it. But I saw, for example, the other day, Victoria Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
She has her Victoria Beckham Beauty. And she said, hi everyone, I have this golden serum. And she was putting on this golden, and she said, I designed this product because there was not a product on the market that was going to do this. And she basically had this like kind of golden cream that she basically pressed onto her skin to give her like a golden kind of glow. And she was like, you know, this is revolutionary. And da-da. And I was like, no. I was like, MAC has had a product called strobe cream on the product, like I think since like the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's been like a pearlized, basically moisturizer. And then only a couple of years ago, they brought out like, it was almost kind of like a pinky pearl.
Mm.
And then they have like a gold pearl now, a coral, and like a kind of white gold for all different skin tones. So it kind of gives like a different sheen on each tone.
Right.
So that's been out for literally about 20 years. And she's acting like she's created this, you know, and probably that skincare is probably about maybe 30 quid. She's probably charging about 50 quid.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, just give over now.
Yeah.
Give over now. Yeah. These products are all coming from, most of them are coming from the same factory,
right.
Same places. It's like, I can't keep seeing the
same
thing.
You're over the scam.
The scam.
That's what it is.
Joanne the scammer.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit like, trying to sell me shit that I've already bought or see. So I'm becoming very much more aware and then kind of being drawn back to the basics, the companies that were there, because they're the ones that have the big money and the big kind of, you know, pull with these factories, you know?
Okay, yeah, so yeah. Well, that's interesting that you said that, because last night I couldn't sleep and I was watching Trixie announce like a black gel liner and a white gel liner. And I remember her talking about that back in 2019 when she just had glitters out and she was like, that's my dream. I want to do black liner and white liner. And I was watching going, okay, but is this going to be different? Because the way every, you know, owner of a brand talks, it's like, well, this is revolutionary. Do you know the kind of way I was watching
her? But if they're working with one brand, they're working with lots of other brands.
That's what I thought too.
And that's the actual fact of it. So it's like, and I saw an Irish brand actually was talking about, there was, she was going to like packaging factories over in Asia. So she was saying that, you know, not everything is done the one factory. So they'll make the product, but then the packaging comes from a different factory and all this kind of stuff. So it is all very intricate. It's very, I find it very interesting, but it kind of just makes you think about what you're spending your money on.
Mm.
And as somebody who is actually just into beauty, it just makes you think, do I need this?
Yeah.
Is this actually revolutionary? And I will, there's certain products that I'd be like, wow, this is fab.
Yeah.
And some things as well, which is ironically not that expensive.
Yeah, fair. Do you know what? This, I was looking at, and I was trying to find how many grams was in the pot versus what I like to use to see how it all added up. Because you could get the black and the white in the pots plus a brush for a $30 bundle. I was like, do you know what? That's actually okay. That's not too bad. No, it's not out until Thursday. And the black, I was like, because I always remember you saying, no, that liner is not black enough.
Yeah,
you need it to be jet black. And it is jet black. But also, I didn't get to watch someone put it on.
Yeah.
It was on. Do you know, like a swatch on an arm versus on your eye, not the same.
And I think as well, like for the Queen's listen, it's like if you're painting over foundation it changes the tone. And everyone uses the Inglot black liner. That is definitely the blackest.
Definitely.
And I've yet to see anything that comes kind of close. The only one that I saw kind of semi close was the Kat Von D had one.
Yes,
that was quite black.
Pricey though as well. Like, I mean, I don't know.
But Inglot is really good. And their flesh colored liner is amazing as well.
Yeah, fully. I think I'm going to get it just to see if I can go see if it is a scam or not.
Treat
do you
yourself,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just to have a little.
We'll review. We'll join us after the break when we'll be trying the liners. So what else is on you?
Next one is Workman. Workman in general, like, and maybe this is going to trigger you, but like, I'm still waiting on bits to be finished that are in my kitchen that was done in, what was that, September?
And why is it taking so long?
Like, they just keep putting me off because they're such small bits, like, that they just keep putting me off. Like, they cracked a tile on the floor when they were putting it in. They didn't put a light in one of the cabinets that should have been there. They were supposed to put a light fixture in and something to do with a plug socket.
Well, do you remember there was always that joke back in the day, it was like about an Irish builder?
Yeah.
Because they'd always like come back and like they would never finish the job and it'd take like years for it to get done. I don't know if it's just...
I'm basically...
Is it because they're doing other jobs?
That has to be it. But like at this point, I'm just going to get someone else to do it. Because I'm sick asking them, what's the story? Can you fit me in next week? And then you get an answer every three emails. So
yeah.
Because like, they've been paid. And what was he doing? And I knew I shouldn't have paid him in full. I should have held back 500 euros.
Yeah.
And just gone, there's everything. And I'll get the final 500.
That's true.
Are done. But Muggins. Fucking Muggins. Paid in full amount. Oh, that's, you know, oh, it's done. Do you know what I mean? Fucking stupid.
So I've been scammed by the gold, bronze and green by Victoria Beckham, and you've been scammed by the builders.
Go on, what's your last one?
My last one is couples who get together who have very different styles and then their styles kind of merge into one. I find that really weird. Or somebody changes their whole style when they get with someone and it becomes so obvious.
Yes.
And you're like, what are you wearing?
So like, is it boyfriend twins?
Not boyfriend twins, like inspired by their partner.
Okay.
But not twins.
Gotcha.
But just like what might suit, say if someone has a really unique style or, you know, quirky style, and then all of a sudden the other person starts wearing quirky bits.
Yes.
Quirky bits. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, that's an interesting jacket. Or, you know, and you're like, what the fuck? You're like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it just kind of like, because that, you see, like, that's that other person's personality. It's not your personality. And, listen, whatever, fucking people can do what they want. But it just is like, it makes you think, what is going on there? That's like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just kind of makes me go, what are you doing?
Changing who you are for the other
person.
Changing
who you are.
That's
what
you're really saying.
Yeah, but true fashion, where you're just, because that's such a visual thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the boyfriend twins for me.
Oh,
yeah. The boyfriend twins. I'm like, what's going on there? No.
Well, I think what happens there as well, especially that becomes a physical thing. Like the sunbeds, the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's like, keep an effort in yourself, you're looking away, but it's like the exact same. So they're probably going to do some bed together.
Yeah.
Get their haircut together.
Yeah.
You know?
They're brothers.
Good for them. Twin sisters.
Twin sisters. Anyway, that's it for another week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Make sure you check out our Pride event and vote for Erica Cody for Eurosong.
Yeah.
We'll be over on our Patreon talking even more juicy gossip. You can find that from next week on Monday. But until next time.
Stay petty.
Bye-bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.